Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Mem Beis. We left off on daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we are at Tanu Rabbanan Kamachutin. The first one in line is Mechat, about 12 lines before the end of the page. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Henry Olinsky, L'Zecher Nishmas, Yechiel Michel, Ben Chaim Schner, Zalman Halevi, Zichron Levracha, Milton Kramer. The Neshama should continue to have an aliyah from the schus of our learning. So the first thing we're going to discuss in today's daf is the number of strings and how far they have to be from the end of the beged, or how close they have to be to the edge of the beged, and how long the knots and the anaf should be on the tzitzis. The anaf are the loose strings that hang beyond the knots and the winds of the tzitzis. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the shear in general of tzitzis, whether it has a shear, and we're going to compare it to lulav, and that's going to be our first Avyomi coincidence of the day, that we compare tzitzis to lulav. Then the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit more about the minimum shear of how far off the edge of the beged the tzitzis has to begin, and we're going to have different minhagim of how they used to, how many strings they used to put in, and how they used to fold the strings over when they put them in the beged. And then the Gemara is going to suggest a rule. The Gemara is going to suggest that any mitzvah that can be made by a goy, if a non-Jew is able to make the mitzvah, then the making of that mitzvah does not require a bracha. But if only a Jew can make the mitzvah, then the making of that mitzvah does require a bracha. And we're going to bring a raya from sukkah, that sukkah is kosher to be made by a non-Jew, and therefore we don't say a bracha when we make a sukkah. And that's going to be our second daf yomi coincidence of the day. But the Gemara is going to question whether that rule, in fact, holds true all the time. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, whether a person recites a bracha when they make tzitzis, and we're going to suggest that machlokas is tali on chovas gavra or chovas talis. We're also going to discuss whether one requires tevia lishma by tzitzis. Do the threads themselves need to be made, need to be spun, l'shem the mitzvah of tzitzis, or only placed into the beged, l'shem the mitzvah of tzitzis? And we're going to relate that to some halacha in Hilchos Tefillin, and we're going to discuss the process of dyeing wool with tcheles, and then we'll move on to other topics that take us into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin on daf Mem Aleph and Beis. Again, we are holding at Tanu Rabbanan. So Tanu Rabbanan, how many strings do you put in the talis? Beishamai Omrim Arba'a. Beishamai says four strings. You put them in the talis and they fold over. That turns into eight. Ubeisil Omrim Shlosha. Beisil says no. It's three strings when you put them into the talis and they fold over. The three turn into six. And the way Beisil understands is that Gedil means a single chut. Gedilim means two strings. And then on top of Gedilim, which is two strings, you have Psil Tcheles. But Psil only means one string. So that's a total of three strings. You fold them over, it turns into six. Now, as we've mentioned in the past, the mitzvah of tzitzis requires that you take either three strings according to Beis Hillel, four strings according to Beis Shammai, and you stick them into the corner of the beged, and you fold them over, you double them over, and you tie and wind and tie and wind, however many winds, however many ties, but then the rest of the tzitzis that hangs loose is called an anaf. So we had learned on Daf Lamites that ideally you want Shlish Gedil, Shnei Shlishi Anaf. You want one third to be the ties and the winds, two thirds of the length to be the Anaf. That's the ideal ratio for the tzitzis. So the Orech, the length of the Anaf, should be twice as long as the Gedil. So the Gemara is going to discuss how long the Anaf has to be, meaning practically speaking, in terms of numbers, how long, what's the length of the strings that hang loosely. The Kamatei Mishuleshes, how much should be, what's the shear of the Anaf? That's the way we understand, according to most Rishonim, what the Gemara is asking. The way Rashi understands in Maseches Bechoros, what we're asking is how long is the Anaf? So says Gemara, Beishame Omrim, Arba, it's four etzbaos. Beisil Omrim, Shalosh, three etzbaos. So since the Gedil is made one third of the length, and the Anaf is two thirds, so it turns out the length that includes the Gedil and the Anaf, according to Beishame, is going to be six etzbaos. According to Beis Hillel, is going to be four and a half etzbaos. Because two thirds of the length is what you have from the anaf. When Beisil says three etzbaos, what he means by etzbaos, which fingers are we talking about? So achas mi'arba betefach. What he means is an etzba that is one quarter of a tefach, shel kol adam, of an adam beinani. So a tefach of a regular person. So shalosh etzbaos, what Beisil means to say is three quarters of a tefach, which is three thumb widths, because if a tefach is a fist, including the height of the thumb, so we assume that that's four thumb widths of is a tefach. So Beisil says three thumb widths as three quarters of a tefach. Amar of Papa tefach da reisa arba begudel. A tefach mi da reisa is four thumb widths. Shis b'katana, it's the width of six pinky fingers. Chamesh betilta, and it's the width of five fingers if you use the finger next to the thumb, the index finger. Amar of Huna arba betoch arba. You have to have four strings that are within four etzbaos of the edge of the beged, umishleshes arba, and the anaf that hangs, the strings that hang loosely, should be four etzbaos. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it should be shlosha b'toch shalosh, three strings that are within three etzbaos of the edge of the beged, mishleshes shalosh, and the anaf that hangs loose should be three etzbaos. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa said, how do we paskin? Hilchasa arba'a b'toch shalosh umishleshes arba. The way it should be four strings within three etzbaos of the edge of the beged, and there should be four etzbaos of length in the anaf that hangs loose. Says Gemara, the memra di islu shira. Wait, you're telling me that tzitzis has a shir? There's a length that tzitzis has to be? Uriminu! I'll bring you a raya not that way. The Brisa says, we learn from the word tzitzis, ain't tzitzis, ele yotze. Tzitzis means that the strings go out of the edge of the beged, so it just means that they have to go out a little bit. Vein tzitzis alamashu. So there's no shear to the length of the tzitzis. Whatever sticks out of the beged, that's perfectly fine. Kvar alu zikne b'shame zikne b'sil alias yochanan ben b'seira v'amru tzitzis ein l'shear and kiyotzi b'lulav ein b'shear. And they said tzitzis has no shear and lulav also has no shear. So my lav ein l'shear cloud. When we say tzitzis doesn't have a shear, doesn't it mean that there's no shear whatsoever and therefore it's perfectly kosher even a mashu? Says more lo. It doesn't mean that it has no shear whatsoever. It means ein l'shear l'mala avul yesh l'shear l'mata, that there's no maximum size of the length of the tzitzis, but a minimum size? Absolutely, there's a minimum size of the length of the tzitzis, and the raya is, di lote mahachi, if you're not going to say that there's at least a minimum size, kayotze bo lulav ein lo shir. The Brice said that a lulav has no shir. Come on, that's beferish. Anyone who learned Masech Sukkah, hachinami de lo shir klal, you mean to tell me lulav has no shir? Vatnan, it's a beferish of Mishnah, Sukkah daf chavtes. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim, kidei linanea bo kasher. That a lulav, only if it has three tfachim with which to shake it, and the Gemara understands that that means three tefachim plus an additional tefach that the nanuim are nicker, because it's an additional tefach that it sticks above the adasim and the aravos, which themselves only need to be three tefachim, is going to be kasher. Ela ein lo shir l'mala v'liyesh lo shir l'mata. No, what we mean by lulav is that a lulav could be as long as you want it to be. It just has no maximum shir, but certainly it has a minimum shir. So chenami, same is true by tzitzis. Ein lo shir l'mala v'liyesh lo shir l'mata. The strings of your tzitzis could be as long as you want them to be, but absolutely they have a minimum shear of how long they have to be, and that's the dalet etzbaos that we're talking about when it comes to the anaf part of the tzitzis. A lot of times people ask shailas about the tzitzis that gets cut and whether they're still kosher or not, and people assume that if it's cut at all, that it's going to be a problem. Not necessarily, only if it's cut less than the shear, then you have to start cheshbening how many are cut and which sides and whether it's in fact a problem. But if you already have dalet etzbaos, so then the chor, it's perfectly fine. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa that says as follows: tzitzis ain't tzitzis ela anaf. Tzitzis means the strings that hang loose, the anaf part of the tzitzis. How do I know that there has to be strings that hang loose that come out of a knotted up part? Because the pasuk says that the Navi says that he saw in a nevuah a hand that came and grabbed the hairs of his head and carried him to Yerushalayim. So you see that tzitzis are, the term tzitzis means loose strands that come from something that connects them all together, like hair. Hair are individual units, but they're all attached to the same scalp. A person has to be mafrid these strings of his tzitzis. He has to separate them that they should in fact be loose. If they get get knotted, he should not leave them knotted. A lot of times if they put them in the washing machine or something, the tzitzis themselves, the strings, will get knotted with each other. You cannot leave them that way, that they're attached to each other. Kitzutzisa darmai, like the baloris that Morai people have on their head, like the chup that they have on their head, where they braid it at the toward the roots, but then it hangs loose toward the end. That's the way tzitzis are meant to be. Now the Bali Yitzhar points out that this din, that the chute, that the tzitzis, you have to be mafrid the tzitzis from each other, is only a din when you have tcheles and lavan, and it's a din to be mafrid the tcheles from the lavan. So someone who doesn't have tcheles, there's no chiv to be mafrid the chute tzitzis from each other, but it's a good idea to do it anyway, zecher the tcheles, that there are a number of things that we do in tzitzis, even when we don't have tcheles, that we do as a zecher the tcheles. That is the sheet of the Bali Yitzhar, but the majority of Rishonim make no such distinction. What does this din of being mafrid have anything to do with tcheles? The din of tcheles is a din in the winding, it's a stam, a separate mitzvah, but being mafrid is just the tzura of tzitzis, the word tzitzis. It has nothing to do with the word tcheles. The word tzitzis implies that it has to be loose hanging at the end, and that's why the Rov Rishonim don't seem to make any such distinction. Tan Rabbanan, hitil ala keren o ala gedil. If a person tied his tzitzis on the edge of the talis, or on the gedil, which is the wide string that they make at the very hem of the beged, so that the beged doesn't fall apart. You know, just to they have like a wider edge to the beged, so that it doesn't fray at the edges. If you put tzitzis right there, mamish on the very edge of the beged, ksheira. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that it's going to be possible. It's possible to stand by both when you put it on the keren or you put it on the gedil. It's going to passel. So kamana zahadam Rav Gidol Merav tzitzis shricha shtei notefes ala keren. So whose shita does Rav Gidol Merav follow when he says that tzitzis have to be hanging over the keren of the beged? So shenemar al kanfei bigdeim, because after all the pasuk says al kanfei bigdeim kaman Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That's going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that says putting tzitzis through the keren, making the hole in the keren, is no good because the tzitzis have to be higher up on the beged and hanging over the keren of the beged. Now the keren is the right angle, the corner of the beged. So the Arayim points out over here that the diuk we're making for the pasuk is that it says al kanfei, not big kanfei. So you don't put the tzitzis in the knaf, you put it on the knaf in a way that it hangs over the knaf of the beged. But he also points out, the Arayim also points out, you see another din that's actually pasuk in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Yud Aleph Sif Tes Vav from here, that if it's supposed to be hanging over the very corner of the beged, it must be that the tzitzis don't hang straight down, right? That when you tie the tzitzis should be hanging off of the side of the beged, and that way when they're hanging off of the side of the beged, they're hitting up against because of gravity, they're hitting up against the corner of the beged. If it was straight down, then that would taka be a problem. It doesn't possibly your tzitzis, but it's not the ideal way to make the tzitzis. Ideally, it should be hanging off of the side of the beged. So that's why you have to, when you tie it, you shouldn't tie it so loose that the knot is can just just easily fall from one to the other. It should be a little bit tight, not super tight, but a little bit, so that it's bunching up the beged just a bit, so that it doesn't drop down and could stay off of the side of the beged. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tzarech sheyarchik melo kesher gudal, that a person has to keep the hole of the tzitzis, where he's going to put the tzitzis through, the shear of an agodel, one etzba, away from the edge of the beged. Now Rav Papa had said on Daf Mem Aleph and Beis in yesterday's Daf that the shear that it has to be off of the edge of the beged is three etzbaos. So Gemara says, well, wait a second, is it three or is it one? So Vitzrich Rav Papa, Vitzrich Rav Yaakov. It's a little bit of an odd Gemara, because the Gemara makes a Tzrichasa. Tzrichasa is when two people say the same thing. You wonder why they have to both say the same thing, where they say a shear in different words, but that mean the same thing. That doesn't seem to be at all what's happening over here. One of them is saying one agodel, the other one saying three. It wouldn't be a tzrichasa, it's a stira, and how are we miyashev the stira? So that's what the Gemara is really addressing. It's just strange that it uses a lashon of tzrichasa. So the Gemara says both of them make sense. De'imid Rav Papa, if I only had Rav Papa's three etzbaos, hava mina tok shalosh lo lirchitzvei, that you got to be within three etzbaos of the edge of the beged, and not more than three etzbaos also off of the edge of the beged. But v'kama demitrav mali. But the closer you are to the edge of the beged, the better it is, I would have thought. And therefore, I would have thought if you put the tzitzis through a hole right on the edge of the beged, that's even better. And it's Rabbi Yaakov. That's why I need the din of Rabbi Yaakov over here to say, no, there's a minimum of how far off the edge of the beged it has to be. It has to be at least one etzba off of the edge of the beged. V'imid Rabbi Yaakov, and if I only had Rabbi Yaakov telling me the one etzba, have minim lo kashagudu the lo likrav tvei, I would say that it's got to be a minimum of one tefach off of the edge of the beged. But v'kama derachik mali, but you could be way off of the edge of the beged. The further you are off the edge of the beged, the better it is. So tricha, that's why I need Rav Papa to say, no, not the better it is, only up until three etzbaos. So what they're giving me is bookmarks. One of them is telling me, bookends, one of them is telling me one etzba, the other says three etzbaos, because the tzitzit should be between one and three etzbaos off of the edge of the beged. Ravina Rav Sama of Yasu Kamed Rav Ashi, Ravina Rav Sama were sitting in front of Rav Ashi, Chazir Rav Sama Lekarni Deglimit Ravina, Rav Sama noticed the corner of Ravina's beged, the Sasur Batsum Lokesha Gudal, that it got torn, it became less than an etzba off of the edge of the beged, and Amar Leh, so he said, Lo Sava Lamar, Lahad Rabbi Yaakov, don't you hold like Rabbi Yaakov, it's got to be at least one Agodel, one etzba off of the edge of the beged, so Amar Leh, Vishas Asiya Itmar, no, that shear is only when you're making the tzitzis. When I made the tzitzis, it was more than one knuckle of the thumb off of the edge of the beged, but now it's just, it ripped a little bit, so now it's less than that, but that's perfectly fine. And the Levush explains the reason is because the Pasuk says, Al Kanfei Bigdehem, right? That's where we learn that it has to be tefach off of the, not a tefach, an etzba off of the edge of the beged. But that Pasuk says, Va'asu lehem tzitzis. So Al Kanfei Bigdehem is a din in the asiya. It's not a din in the final product later on. So Ichsif, so Rav Sama was embarrassed. He didn't know that din. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Lo Tat Kiflach, Chad Minai, you could train me none. Don't be upset about this. One of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael are so sharp and so strong in learning, they're like two Chachmei Bavel. So Ravina was from Eretz Yisrael, you're from Bavel, don't be embarrassed that you don't know as much. You know, there's the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael are supposed to know more. That's why they're Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. It's like even today you have such a notion that Rabbi Sachs likes to use an expression, an Eretz Yisrael dika bakiyas. You know, like well, what's considered a baki in America is whatever. You know some Mishnah Brura. But the Eretz Yisrael dika bakiyas is the guy who knows every prima gadim. You know, like it's a different level of a bakiyas. So that's the way Rashi explains over here in the Sefer Doros HaRishonim. He says that it's a pella because it doesn't say anywhere in Shas that Ravina was from Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, we do have a number of places that he was really from Bavel. At least Bial Duso, he was from Bavel. So they say maybe you have to change the girsa. But probably what's behind that is the following: the Gemara in Ksubas tells us that Chad Minan, meaning one of the Chachmei Bavel, Ketrei Minayu, are as good as two of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. But someone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is Ketrei Minan. It's like is double as good as Chachmei Bavel. So yeah, Ravina probably originally was one of the Chachmei Bavel, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael, and that made him doubly as good. That's what made him so strong in learning. The reason the Rivash explains is according to Shita Mugbetzas that the reason the Chachmei for that difference is Chachmei Bavel would learn Charifos. Chachmei Eretz Yisrael learned with a certain sense of Siyata D'Shmaya. So when someone who's trained to learn Charifos would be all the Eretz Yisrael and the Avira D'Eretz Yisrael Machkim, so he not only has the training to sort of do it himself, now he has the Avira D'Eretz Yisrael to add to that, so that combination is something very special. But those who were trained in Eretz Yisrael, who their entire learning was in Eretz Yisrael, it was always based on Avira D'Eretz Yisrael Machkim, and they never had that learning Becharifos, that emphasis. That's what the Netziv explains in his Hakdamah to the Shiltos. That's why you open up a Talmud Yerushalmi, and it's a Mishnah, a paragraph, next Mishnah, a paragraph, next Mishnah, it goes much quicker. Talmud Bavli, you have all these side discussions that take you far afield until you come back. It's 10 blot later until you come back to the next Mishnah. So then the Tziv explains that's the style of learning in Bavel, is with a certain amount of depth and a certain amount of research that they didn't have in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Siyata D'Shmaya, clarity, they had the din, and that was it. And then they moved on. So that's a reflection of the different styles of learning in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Meaning the idea being, like in Bavel is Ardech HaShucha, it's considered a dark land, so it's like a blind person feeling around in the dark. So he stumbles a lot, he tries a lot of different things, he feels a lot of different parts of the room. At the end of the day, he has a much stronger knowledge of the room than the guy who just walks right through the room because it's light, right? So that's the difference between Chachmei Bavel and Chachmei Yisrael. Chachmei Bavel are stumbling around a lot, but at the end of the day, they have this much greater knowledge. But if you went through the stumbling and then you turn on the light, so then such a person has a much better knowledge of what's going on. Okay, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Rami Arba. Rav Acha bar Yaakov used to stick 4 strings into his beged, Vayiflu Me'af, and he would double it over before he'd put it into the hole. Not like we do where we put it in the hole and then Memela doubles over. He would double it over before he put it into the hole. So on one end, you had it was a loop, and on the other end, it was loose strings. Umayelu beglima. Then he would stick the strings through that loop, like almost like a slip knot. Va'aviklu mevak, and he would stick the two heads of the string in on the one side through the loop on the other side. Kasav Rabbeinu Tmanya beglima, because he holds that you need 8 strings, but it needs to be 8 when you stick it in. So it was when you have 4 doubled over, that's how you stick it in. Ki'echid ravi gedil gedilim b'makom seal, so that you could fulfill this notion of gedilim, which is 2 strings, and the fact that it's and b'makom seal in the place where you are posel the chutim, which is the nekev. So that's why it's got to be 8 strings on its way in. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti Rami Tmanya Dinu Shitzar V'lova V'klu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti used to take 8 strings, stick them into the baguette, and then when they would naturally fold over, it turned into 16 strings. Marbre Dravina Avikididan. And Marbre Dravina do what we consider normal. He would take 4 strings, stick them into the baguette, and when it folded over into 8 strings. Okay, says Gemara, Nachman Ashkel Ravad Barava, Rami Chuti V'kamevarech. So, unbelievable din, or maisa. Rav Nachman sees Ravad Barava making tzitzis, and not where making tzitzis, and he was mevarich lasos tzitzis. He was making a bracha on making of the tzitzis. So amalei, my tzitzi shamana. What's the sound tzitzi that I hear? Meaning the sound of the bracha of asiyas tzitzis. Hachi yom rav, tzitzis ain't tzricha bracha. Don't you know? Rav says you don't have to say a bracha on the making of the tzitzis. Obviously, the wearing of the tzitzis requires a bracha. The making of the tzitzis does not require a bracha. Ki nach nafshi dravuna, when Rav Huna died, all Rav Chista, the Mirma the Rav, the Rav. Rav Chista came to the Beis Medrash and he asked a stira in Rav. Umiya Rav Tzitzis ain't tzricha bracha. Does Rav say Tzitzis does not require a bracha? How do I know that a goy may not make Tzitzis, that the Tzitzis would be possible if it was made by a non-Jew? Shenemar Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'asula hem Tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael ya'asu v'lo avdichavim ya'asu. So don't you see that's a stira? How could Rav say that you don't say a bracha on Tzitzis? Your guy is not allowed to make tzitzis. Says Vahamai Rumiya. Those are 2 separate. What does one got to do with the other? One is about whether you say a bracha when you make tzitzis, and the other is whether a guy is allowed to make tzitzis. So says Gemara, no, there's a rule that we're assuming. Amar Rav Yosef, Kasam Rav Chista, Kol Mitzvah Shekshir Bavichavim BiYisrael Ein Tzarech Levarich. Kol Mitzvah Shepsul Bavichavim BiYisrael Tzarech Levarich. We're assuming a rule that any mitzvah that a guy is kosher to make, a Jew would not recite a bracha when making, because the fact that a guy is kosher to make it shows you that the making it's not such a big deal, and therefore you don't say a bracha on the making, it's not a mitzvah. But if a guy would not be kosher to make it, then it tells you that the making it is a mitzvah, and therefore you should recite a bracha when you make it. Says Mar Uklaluhu, is that really a klal that holds true everywhere? Vare mila dikshera bavid chavim, a guy could do a bris mila, that's not la halacha, so don't assume that that's true, but the Gemara is assuming that at this point. A guy can do a bris mila, ditanya, ir shein barofe Yisrael, if you have a city that doesn't have a Jewish moel, v'yesh v'rofe armoi, but you have a non-Jewish moel, v'rofe kuti, or you have a kuti moel, yomel armoi v'lo yomel kuti, better to have the non-Jew than the kuti, and the reason is because we assume that the kuti that does the mila will do so l'shem avodah zarah. Divra Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir Shita, the Iker Sugya on this topic is avodah zarah daf chav zayin. The kutim were found to be over the Demus Yona, an image of a dove on Har Grizim, and they treated treated as an avodah zara. So when they mal their children, they mal l'shem that avodah zara. Ovdei kochavim, even though they are by definition ovdei avodah zara, but they don't typically mal their children at all. So therefore, they're not going to associate doing a mila, performing a mila, with their avodah zara. But kutim do mila, and they worship avodah zara, so they might associate the two, and they might do it l'shem avodah zara. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kuti v'lo armai. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, have the kuti do it, not the armai, because there's another concern that he's worried about. The Gemara in avodah zara spells out that the armai people, the avodah chavim, are chashra shvichas damim. So if you want the baby to live, a better idea to have the kuti do the mila rather than the armai do the mila. Ubi Yisrael, tzarech levarich. But certainly, a Jew who does mila has to say a bracha, even though it's kosher to have a guy do mila. Tamar mar, amal omer bracha shakasham sasvitzvanu, ala mila. A person does a mila, you say such a bracha. Says the Gemara, midi v'tayme el rav. No, but this whole thing, this whole kasha was just to explain shitas rav. And you should know, rav mifsal pasil. Rav holds that if a guy does the mila, it's pasil. Did itmar minayin the mila bovik chavim shepsula? How do you know that mila is pasil by novik chavim? So daru bar papa mishmei de rav amar, daru bar papa. One of the, normally he only comes up at the siyum of the mesechta, so he's a few blot too early here. Daru bar papa, who said in the name of Rav, that when Avram Avinu got the mitzvah of Mila, it says Va'ata es brisi tishmar, and Atav is Archa Chrech l'dorosam, so that that you have to be shomer the bris, meaning you have to be shomer the bris, and not of the chavim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, a different pasuk that tells me that an of the chavim can't do the Mila. Himol yimol, the pasuk says. What are we darshin? Hamol yamol. Only someone who himself is gemalt could do a Mila. A guy who has no mitzvah himself to have a mila, even if he has a circumcision, but he has no mitzvah himself to do the mila, cannot do the mila for someone else. So Rav Chista's kasha on Rav Nachman b'shem Rav is a kasha. How could you say that you don't have to say a bracha on making of the tzitzis? Rav holds an ovid chavim is not allowed to make tzitzis, and there is a klal that any time a guy is not allowed to do something, so mela there is a bracha on doing that thing when a Jew does it. When a guy is allowed to do something, there's no bracha for a Jew. Says Mar Sukkah Maseyele Tfilin Avi Tiyufta. Happens to be Sukkah is a raya to this klal. Tfilin, however, is a tiyufta on this klal. How so? Hare sukkah dikshei rabav chavim. Sukkah, which is kosher by an ovid chavim. A guy is allowed to make a sukkah. Ditanya. It's the Farish of the Brisa says, sukkas of the chavim, sukkas nashim, a sukkah made by gayim, a sukkah made by women, sukkas behema, a sukkah that's made not by a behema, but litzorech behemos, for the sake of animals, sukkas kutim, a sukkah that kutim make in order to stam, shade them from the sun during the hot months of the year. There's machlokas, of course, in Maseches Kiddushin, where the kutim are gerei arayos or they are gerei emes. The Tana of this price holds that kutim are gerei arayos. Gerei arayos meaning arayos with an aleph, lions, that they were forced to convert because of fear of lions. So because of that, they're not mechavin l'shem mitzvah sukkah, and the sukkah is going to be I would assume they're not mechavin l'shem mitzvah sukkah, and the sukkah is going to be possible. So that's what the Brisa tells me. No, but they're mechavin l'shem tzel. They're trying to build a hut that provides shade, and that's all you really need. It doesn't need to be l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Sukkah mikol makom. Any sukkah, even a sukkah that's less than the ones that we just identified, k'shera, they're all going to be kosher. Oblevat shetei mesukechas kehilchasa. As long as it's mesukechas kehilchasa. So the Gemara in sukkah, daf ches and beis, mesukechas kehilchasa, obviously it has to be kosher, right? What do you mean? Oblevat shetei mesukechas kehilchasa. So the Gemara says, no, it means that it's done the shem tzel. At least you have to have done it to try to make shape. But bottom line is, a sukkah of a guy is a sukkah made by a guy is perfectly kosher. Ubi Yisrael ein tzarech levarech. So I would think that if a guy, naturally would follow from this rule, and therefore this is why sukkah is a raya, that if a guy can make it, then I don't need to say a bracha when I make the sukkah. So Ubi Yisrael ein tzarech levarech. A Jew doesn't have to say the bracha when you make a sukkah. Detanya, ha'os a sukkah la'atz Asma Omer, Baruch Ata Hashem Elkein Melacham Shechiyanu Kimel Yonu Lizman Hazeh, that you say a Baruch of Shechiyanu when you build the Sukkah. Ba Leisheva Omer, Baruch Ata Hashem Elkein Melacham Shechiyanu Kimel Yonu Lizman Hazeh, but the Birchas HaMitzvah on Sukkah is only when you go to live in the Sukkah. Vilu Lasa Sukkah LaMavarech, but there's no Baruchah on Asiyas HaSukkah. There's Yushalmi that says not this way. There's Yushalmi that says that there is a Baruchah on Asiyas HaSukkah. Someone, my Talmidim, texted me yesterday asking me if there's a mitzvah to make a sukkah, if there's any such mitzvah. So that's a huge sukkah. The Rashi of Makos Daf Ches strongly implies that yes, that there is a mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah, because Rashi of Makos Daf Ches says that the chopping of the wood for the sukkah materials is not a mitzvah, rather the Asiyas HaSukkah is the mitzvah. So what emerges from this sukkah, from that Rashi, from many places, is that it may not be a mitzvah to build a sukkah, but it's definitely more than a regular Hechsher mitzvah, meaning there's definitely an inyan to build the sukkah. The way the Netziv formulates it, we'll just say it now, the way the Netziv formulates it is that whenever you have a Hechsher mitzvah, but it's Kasuv Bekra, the Torah itself tells you the Hechsher mitzvah, like by tzitzis, gedilim tasalcha, you should make tzitzis, that you should make a sukkah for 7 days. Whenever the Torah identifies the Hechsher mitzvah, then that Hechsher mitzvah is an elevated level Hechsher mitzvah. It's a Hechsher mitzvah, and therefore some of the inyanim that would normally relate to a mitzvah would apply to such a Hechsher mitzvah. For example, normally by a mitzvah we say mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. Better you do the mitzvah yourself rather than have a shliach do the mitzvah for you. Says the Netziv, and the same is true by Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'kra. Mitzvah Bo, Yosem B'shluch. So maybe you don't say a bracha on it, because it's not a mitzvah per se, but it's a mitzvah Bo, Yosem B'shluch. Also interesting that the Gemara says that we recite a Shechianu when we build the Sukkah. Oh, by the way, because of that mitzvah Bo, Yosem B'shluch, it's Kedai, even if you're not going to build the walls of your Sukkah, to at least roll out the Schach, or do something in terms of the making of the Schach, because you should have some participation in the making of the Sukkah, because of mitzvah Bo, Yosem B'shluch. So it's kedai to do. It's also kedai to tie, you learn how to tie tzitzis. It's a nice thing to do. But because that mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. The other example that Netziv gives is preparing for Shabbos. Says, why is it that these gemaras in Shabbos that talk about these holy amoraim would take time in erev Shabbos, and they're sweeping the floors and they're baking kugels and they're, what are they doing? Let them learn. Let the wives do. I don't know. Let someone else do it for them. What do they have to? But that was the mitzvah, that preparing for Shabbos is actually mitzvah ksuv b'kra, mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. That's what the Netziv says. Just the other issue of here is that it says that you say a Shechianu when you build the sukkah. We don't, right? We don't say a Shechianu, but we have kavana that the Shechianu that we say on the first night in the sukkah also goes on the building of the sukkah, which is an interesting shiloh. What if a person doesn't end up in his own sukkah on the first night? A person's eating somewhere else on the first night of sukkah, so he's not in his own sukkah. So whatever Shechianu is being said is by the person who owns that sukkah, and then you can eat the first in the sukkah on the first day of sukkahs. Should you say a new Shechianu then on the sukkah, because you never said a Shechianu on the sukkah? Okay, so that's a good question. Tefillin tiyufta. Tefillin is a tiyufta on this whole rule that we said. Very tefillin the psulos pavik chavim. Tefillin cannot be made by novik chavim. The Tani Rav Chinna bereid the Rava. Rav Chinna bereid the Rava taught us. Mafsharnia, Miparsharnia, that's the name of the place where he's from. Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah Shekasvan Stuki Kuti Ovid Chavim Eved Ishav Katan Mumar Psulin. If Stam is written by any of these categories of people, including Ovid Chavim, it's absolutely possible. Shenemar, because in the Parsha of Tefillin it says Ukshartem Ukhsaftem Kol Sheyeshna B'Kshira Yeshna B'Ksiva. So we darshan anyone who's able, who's chayiv in the mitzvah of Kshira's Tefillin, is kosher to write the Tefillin. Kol Sheyeshna B'Kshira Eino b'ksiva, but anyone who's not kosher in the writing of the in the tying of the tefillin is not mechuyev in the tying of the tefillin is not kosher to do the writing of the tefillin. It happens to be very interesting that you have an explicit gemara that women cannot be a sofer to write tefillin because they're not b'kshira. You also have an explicit gemara we just saw sukkas nashim, a woman is kosher to build a sukkah. What about tzitzis? All these tchela sugyas, all these tzitzis sugyas, nowhere, not in the Gemara. It's very hard to find any rayas. Whether a woman is, so it's a big discussion in the Rishonim, what tzitzis is more comparable to? Is tzitzis more comparable to tefillin, which makes such a drasha that anyone who's chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis is kosher to make the tzitzis, or is tzitzis more like sukkah, whereby sukkah, a woman is kosher to do it even though she's pater from the mitzvah of sukkah? So maybe you should say the same thing by tzitzis. So I have a piece in my first sefer on that topic, and whether there's any room to be machmir that a woman shouldn't even make a sukkah based on later things. Okay, ubiyisrael einu tzarich levarich. And yet, when it comes to making tefillin, a Jew does not recite a bracha on the making of tefillin. But according to our rule, that anything a guy can't do, a Jew should have to say a bracha, and the Jew should have to say a bracha on the making of tefillin. Al tefillin shel yad omer baruch hashem kasham esot zizanu laniach tefillin al tefillin shel rosh omer baruch hashem kasham esot zizanu al mitzvah tefillin vilu lasos tefillin lamavarech. But there is no bracha on asiyas tefillin, so that's a kasha on this rule that we suggested. Elalav hayin v'tayma, the reason that there are some mitzvahs that you say a bracha and some mitzvahs that you don't, kol mitzvah d'asiyasa gemar mitzvah kigon mila af l'gav d'ksheir above l'chavim b'yisrael tzarech levarech. Any mitzvah that the making of the mitzvah, the doing of the action is the Gemar mitzvah, even though a guy can do it too, a Jew has to say a bracha on it. And that's why Mila, even though there are those that hold that a guy can do a Mila, but that is the Gemar mitzvah, therefore a Jew recites a bracha. Because mitzvah d'asiyas alav Gemar mitzvah, but any mitzvah that the asiyah is not the Gemar mitzvah, kagon tefillin, writing tefillin is not the Gemar mitzvah, you haven't fulfilled your task yet, when you just wrote tefillin, you have to actually wear them. Even though a guy cannot do the writing of the tefillin, b'Yisrael in a tzarich levarich, a Jew does not have to say a bracha. Ubetzitzis, aye. So what's the machlokas about tzitzis? Bahakamiflagi marsa varchavasalasi. That Rav Chista holds that it's a chavas mana, that it's a chiyuv on the beged, even if you're not wearing it. So when you're putting the tzitzis in the talis, that is the gemar mitzvah, and therefore you have to recite a bracha. Umar savra, Rav Nachman holds chavas gavrahu. No, it's a chiyuv when you wear the tzitzis. So the making of the tzitzis is not a gemar mitzvah. Memele, you don't say a bracha. The making of the tzitzis. Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, atun hachim asnisala. You when you talk. Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav like that, that tzitzis is made by Novik Chavim is possible, and therefore you had this whole kasha. Anan Hachim Asimla, it happens to be we learned Rav differently. That Amar Bidam Rav, Minayin Litzitzis Bovik Chavim, Shekshera! How do I know that tzitzis made by a guy is kosher? Shenem Rav Asulahem tzitzis, Yasulahem Acherim. We darshin from Vasulahem that it's Yasulahem Acherim, that other people can make your tzitzis for you. Others meaning people outside the Jewish nation of the Chavim. Amr Avidam Rav, Asan min hakotz min hanim min garden psula. If you make your tzitzis from strings that are anyway on the beged, that are hanging loose from the edge of the beged, from the weaving of the beged, that are thorn, like thorns sticking out of the beged, that's pasul. Min asisin, but if you take strings that are external to the beged, but were not made for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzis, kshera, that's okay. The strings themselves don't have to be made for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Ki amrisa kamei d'shmol, amar af min asisin psula. He said, no, even min asisin is pasul, be in a tzvi l'shma, because it does have to be made for the strings have to be spun for the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says Mark Kitanai, the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether the tviyas hachutim, whether the spinning of the threads needs to be done for the mitzvah of tzitzis, is in fact the machlokas Tanaim in a totally different context. Tzipan zahav, if you take the parshas of tefillin and you cover them in gold, meaning you make gold batim, you decide you can have the fanciest tefillin around, you make gold batim, oh shetala alein or beh, or you put a non-kosher animal hide around your tefillin, psulos, or behema tahora, ksheros af pishalovid and lishman. But if you use a kosher animal, even if you didn't have ibud lishma, it wasn't tanned, the shame of the mitzvah of tefillin, that's kosher. No, you need ibud lishma even for tefillin. So we're assuming that those two are the same. Whether you need tviya of the chutei tzitzis lishma, it totally hinges on the issue of whether you need ibud of the or of the tefillin to be lishma. Amalei by the Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, hat chilta heichi tavisula. How do you do the dyeing of tcheles? Amalei mesina dam chilazon. You take the dam of the chilazon. Visamanin. That word caused so much controversy. Visamanin. There's something else other than just the dye. There's some other something that gets mixed in. So that's what led the Rezina Rebbe to make a mistake in terms of what the identity of tcheles is, because of his understanding of his misunderstanding of chemistry and someone using samanim that are not the samanim that the Gemara meant. And what exactly is this? What do you need samanim for? I thought the dye is supposed to be what gives the color. So this is a big discussion. Ramin lubiyori, you put it into a pot. Vishaklina porta beveasa, you take a little bit of the mixture out in an eggshell or any small kli, it doesn't have to be an eggshell. So min lubu udra, shadin lehi beyasa, vikalin lehi udra. And you do a test run to make sure that the dye works, and then you take whatever dye is in that shell and you throw it out and you burn the piece of wool that you did the test run on. So shmamina tlas, we see three things. Shmamina ti'ima psula, that dyeing that you do just for testing is possible for the mitzvah. Shmamina bina tzvi l'shma, that the tzvi has to be done l'shma. Shmamina ti'ima pasla, and if you stick the dye back in that you did for the test, it will ruin the whole pot. That's why you got to throw it out. Hainu ti'ima psula, hainu tzvi l'shma. Now, the two of these things sound exactly the same. Am ravashi matam kamer, matam ti'ima psula, mishim divin and tzvi l'shma. Why is ti'ima psula? Why is the test run not okay? Because you need tzvi l'shma, and that's not l'shma. It's l'shem testing. Kitanai, talam apasla, mishim shnemar kliel techeles. Tiv rabbi chenim agam liol. Rabbi Yochum and Avai yomer, afilu marasheni shabakash, mishim shnemar ushni tolas. Shni, we're dashing as in sheni. That you can even do a second dyeing, even though you did a dyeing to test with that dye, you could put it back in and do a second dyeing. So that's a machlokas tanaim, whether you're allowed to do that. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at Tanu Rabbanan.